Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, August 15th, 2010.
I don't need to tell you that we live in a very permissive society, in an increasingly permissive society, in which things that 50 years ago were not only a shame, they were prosecutable, are today paraded and claimed to be civil rights. And not only that, but even among our schools, a recent survey by not a Christian organization, but one of the education studies claimed that almost half of the high school seniors in schools in this country admit to having cheated on their SAT test, and that as many freshman college students claim to cheat on exams, and more moral standards are being flouted, and with impunity. Even many Christian groups talk about moral values. Moral values are not what the gospel stands for. It's moral standards. Moral values are subjective and they change, but moral standards are objective and they remain ever the same. There are some things that for us Christians matter, and they matter very much, and we should be very plain about them. One of them is language matters. In Matthew 5 and 37, we read, "But let your communications be yes, yes, and no, no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." This is the conclusion of what he says. "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither by shall thou swear by thy head, nor because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communications be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever more cometh of evil." Speech does matter. And even Christians are oftentimes saying things that are unnecessary, that we don't need to really emphasize yes or no, and we don't need to say such things as "Oh Lordy," which are just common perversions of the title of our Lord. And we need to be clear that speech does matter. It matters in more ways than one. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus was on trial before the Jewish council, and Peter and John were close by to see what would happen, in Matthew 26 and 73, we read, "After a while came unto Peter they that stood by, and said unto him, Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. His speech betrayed that he was a Galilean, because the common language in the Holy Land at that time was Aramaic, which was Assyrian Semitic language, and there was a difference in the way it was spoken in Galilee and in Judea. And just like we can tell the difference of someone who is an Australian because of the way he speaks, his accent and the words that he used. And that was the same in that time. The speech in Galilee was the same language, but it was spoken differently. And the very way he spoke, the very pitch and tone of his voice gave him away as being a Galilean and one of Jesus' followers. And this is true, too, of Christians. Our speech, the way we speak, is important. It is important to others. And our speech not only should be free of those kinds of speech, but they should be free of crudities. Have you noticed on the radio and on television, especially on talk programs, that though even the hosts seem to be pushing the envelope as far as they can in crudities without being actually shut off the air? This seems to be something that is increasing in our society, and we should be careful about such things. Not only that, but in Colossians 4 and 6, Paul wrote, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned speech should be our goal. Well seasoned. He said seasoned with salt, but he didn't mean what we call salty speech. He meant gracious speech, careful speech, and speech does matter. It is something that we should be very careful about and cultivate. Another thing that matters is behavior. In Luke 6 and 31, we read, and as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also likewise to them. How we should keep this in mind is, for one thing, just by courtesy, common courtesy, not just with our own Christians, but with people in the world, because again, behavior matters. Also, behavior betrays who we are. When I was in school, probably when you were in school, we took home report cards. It told not only how well we were doing on our studies, but there was also one line on the report card that I took home that my father always looked at first. It was called deportment. And we were graded on deportment, which is just another word for our general behavior and cooperation. And that was important on the grade. It is still important today. Our behavior everywhere should be the same as it is when we gather here together. It should be considerate, it should be kind, and as Jesus said, the way we want to be treated. Once when I was in Mexico, I was in a hotel there where the Mexicans spoke English and very well. And one man became very upset because the clerk couldn't change a $100 bill. And he was very abusive in his language. And he was an American. I could tell by his speech, by his accent, by the words that he used, but he was one of those ugly Americans in a foreign land. So behavior does matter, and it matters very much. And honesty matters also. In Ephesians 4, the apostle addresses this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. He says, "But speak the truth in love, that ye may grow up in him." And in verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." This has always been very striking to me, because all of my teachers as I was growing up and as I was in Bible school and all the pastors that I've known have said that Ephesians is the acme of truth. It is the high point of revelation. It speaks of our place in the heavenlies. It speaks of our union with Christ. It speaks of all of the privileges that we have in the gospel and of all of the glories that await us hereafter. And yet, the Ephesian church must have been a very spiritual church, would you not think? And from the account of it in the Acts, the Ephesians would be perhaps an ideal congregation. And yet he tells them to speak the truth in love, not to speak the truth hurtfully. Have you ever known someone that says, "Well, I speak the truth. I say it as I see it"? That's not speaking the truth in love and consideration. And "wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor." And then a little further down, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That is, no bad language proceed out of your mouth. Language is important. Behavior is important. And honesty matters. Speak the truth. And this is a very important thing, because truthfulness is vital to our free society. I remember when Bob Blackwood was a cashier and vice president in a bank in Aurora. He was talking about his different customers, and he said, "You know, when the majority of people are not honest, the banking system will collapse. What have we just seen? And why did it collapse? And if you want to see what kind of a society it will be if the majority of people are not honest, just look at any third world country and see how seeking bribes and dishonesty and how restricted the banking system is and all of society. So honesty does matter. It matters socially, it matters nationally, and it matters very much personally. In the 15th Psalm, we read about this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He makes a bargain that turns sour, and he doesn't try to find a loophole in the contract, or he doesn't try to find a shyster lawyer who will break the contract. He honors his word, even to his own heart hurt. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now this is more than honesty. This is integrity. And integrity does count. I used to hear Brother Jesse Franklin say, for he said it often, honesty is not the best policy. If honesty is a policy, it is worth it, worthless. Integrity is honesty that is a trait of character. It is honesty that is not a policy, but is a trait of who we are, as well as what we do. Because policy is a procedure or a plan that is followed for a certain purpose, and it can be changed or discarded as needed. But if honesty is integrity, it is who we are, and it is not a policy. And also, loyalty matters. In Proverbs 17 and 17, we read, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born to adversity. Loyalty. Loyalty in friendships. Loyalty to our groups and to our nation. Loyalty does matter. But loyalty does not extend to sin. Loyalty does not extend to crime. In such cases, our loyalty is not to the person, but to a higher loyalty, to our Lord. So all of our loyalties are a part of our loyalty to the Lord, to always be known for who we are, to always be known for what we believe. And this sometimes, if it is just a policy, will change. But if it is part of who we are, it won't. There was an article in the paper last week about Tebow. How many of you know who Tebow is? Yeah. Very young fellow, just now a Denver Bronco. And it was telling about how many people admire him. Other people loathe him. And it quoted one woman who said, "I hate Tebow. He has no business publicly spouting his faith the way he does. I hate him and I hate his belief, his faith." That is an attitude that is becoming increasingly prevalent in our country. It's an attitude that in former years you would never hear. It used to be that even unbelievers had respect for the gospel. But today, even in our newspaper columnists, often they are belittling it. But we are loyalty to who we are, and we are loyalty to the gospel and to our Lord. And loyalty does matter, and it matters very much. And commitment matters. That is commitment to who we are and to what we believe. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the apostle is reflecting on his life and advising Timothy thereby. And in chapter 4 and verse 7 is that well-known verse, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept or guarded or defended the faith." Loyalty to his Lord was Paul's drive ever since he met him on that Damascus road. And he endured hardships and bitterness and opposition like we have never known. But he was loyalty his whole life long. He fought the good fight. He finished his course. He kept, guarded, protected the faith. But it is loyalty to the Lord. It is loyalty to the gospel. It is loyalty to God's people. It is not a loyalty that is to whatever people do or whatever aberration we see in those whom we have loyalty to. We don't extend it beyond the limits of the gospel. And this is something that is very common in our day. To be loyal to people in their sin. To be loyal to people in their wrongs. We have a higher loyalty than that. And a friend loves at all times, but a friend does not always support his friends when they do wrong, because we have a higher commitment, a higher loyalty. And consideration for others is very important too. In Romans, the 14th chapter, we read, in Romans 14 and beginning with verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For if meat destroy, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Diet was a very important matter in Paul's day, because the meat that was sold in the markets in Rome, in Corinth and Athens, in Philippi, in Ephesus, was almost always from animals that had been sacrificed in heathen temples. Heathen temples were really slaughterhouses, and the animals in sacrifice were devoted to the gods, and then the meat was sold in the markets, and many people thought it was wrong to eat such food because it was honoring paganism. And Paul had no scruples about it himself, but he said, if it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, or whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended. That is not a matter today. It is not something that is a big question, but alcohol is. And of itself, Paul said, there is nothing evil in wine of itself. But in our society today, it is a big issue. And it is a matter that should be a very open and shut case for Christians to not be involved in anything that causes the pain, the destruction, the harm that does in alcohol does in our society. One Denver police officer, I believe he was a Denver police officer, said that in Colorado today, 40% of all automobile accidents are alcohol related. This is a matter that should be one of our principles, one of our moral standards, to not have to neither eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbled or is offended or is made weak. So these are things that do matter in our society today as Christians. Language matters. How we use it, and it betrays to all and sundry who we are. Behavior matters. Have you seen Christians fly off the handle and, well, that's just the way I am, or that's just my Irish dander, or whatever? Behavior matters. Honesty, that is integrity, matters. Loyalty matters to whom it is and how we adhere to it. Commitment matters to what we are committed and how strongly we are committed. Some people are committed to the gospel. They're committed. They really are, but not that much. And I'm sure that you know Christians like that. So commitment matters to whom and what it is and how strong the commitment is. And the consideration for other Christians, for their welfare, for their good. These are all matters of Christian character, who we are as Christians, and what we want to become as believers. It is something that in many churches and in many people in good churches fudge in their life. Let us be among those who, like Paul, are firm in their commitment to the gospel.